This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hi, I'm John Oliver, member number one. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That, with Chris in a croaky voice.
And Gordon with a reasonable voice.
And the silky sounds of Phil.
thank you indeed for joining us on this, our 700th ever broadcast under the title of Been There, Done That.
That's amazing, isn't it? 700. That's taken a few years to get to, hasn't it, really?
Well, of course, because back in the good old days of last century, we didn't ever do 52 programs in a year.
There was always a break of a month or something, wasn't there?
We did. There was always a season where we wouldn't be operating. So you could only get up to 26 and 30 and 39 weeks in a year.
A year. And even sometimes you would only do two blocks in a year as well. You didn't always guarantee you were going to get three because we were broadcasting on such a short broadcast span that everybody had to get in. This is the thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Now that we've got guaranteed airtime for the whole station, we can actually be a little bit more liberal with how we work things. And that's why we have given up our daytime slot for this particular four-month grid. And we are doing podcast only so that some new shows can come in and have a bit of a try out.
Yes, and of course we are, you're probably listening to us right now on a very early on a Friday morning, actually.
Yes. So,
on a podcast at a time of your choosing.
That's right.
That's even better.
It's convenience.
Convenience, yes.
So we're bright and breezy, and we want to say thank you to the previous program if you were listening to us on Friday morning. The Ad Lib to Fade show, soundscape, sound art. Very interesting. I'm not sure it's my cup of tea, but then I've got funny tastes.
But you probably prefer coffee anyhow.
Oh. Wouldn't mind hot chocolate myself.
Right. Now that's a good name for a group. Yes, a musical group. Anyway, not to worry. Yes, 700. Why did the program start? Well, there was an opportunity on the old grids back in the year 2000 when I started, for an arts type show and a bit of a reflection for those people who were beyond the pub and club set, for those people who were interested in more quiet and not a disco-y, boppy music mix. And that's what I did with Bill Jeffrey, our late departed friend.
Yes.
He was the arts reporter.
Yep, he went to everywhere, didn't he?
He did. He got freebies and opening of envelopes left, right and centre.
But he was very knowledgeable about his music industries.
And stage shows, and he knew the whole. We would interview artists.
Because he had actually been the personal attendant to Frank Thring.
Junior.
We only ever know one Frank Thring. Yes.
He was a gentleman's gentleman.
That's right.
But we also had, of course, we got a birthday.
The day we're celebrating today is the birthday of Rod McEwen. He was a US poet, singer and songwriter, and he actually died on the 29th of January in 2015, but it was his birthday on the 29th of April, I beg your pardon, in 1933.
And he had a long life.
He had a very long life, and he was a very, very interesting poet. He used to write all sorts of... He was a confrere of Ginsberg, but he was very popular. He would sing songs, and he was very fond of Jacques Brel, the composer, and he used to sing a lot of Jacques Brel songs in his programs. But he'd do songs with songs, and he'd do poetry, and he appeared here at the Melbourne Town Hall, I think, for two performances, way back in the 70s it was, and you couldn't get into the Melbourne Town Hall. It was jam-packed with women. They really adored him.
So he really had a connection with the women. He was a sensitive man.
He was a very sensitive man, yes. But he actually had two children by a French woman. I'm not sure whether he married her. I can't remember.
Not technically married.
They weren't, but they did have two children who turned out to be quite clever people themselves in the music industry and the arts.
So it's hereditary.
So it's hereditary, yes.
That explains a lot about my singing career.
So why do we consider him as being part of our community?
Well, he swung on both sides of the street, apparently, or walked on both sides of the street. He didn't ever actually say that he was gay, but he mixed with all the gay crowd, and he went to gay parties and all the rest of it But he was actually bisexual, which was more to point on.
He was quite an activist, wasn't he, for gay causes?
Oh, for gay causes. He was everywhere for gay causes, yeah. He would have been right in with the AIDS causes in America as well, because of the way the Americans treated people in the HIV epidemic, of course, which was not very good.
Driven by pure fear.
Yeah, that's right.
And fear en masse is not a pretty sight.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, a few very brave people stood up.
Stood up, yep.
And, of course, education on the subject grew quickly in the early days, but like infections or how you can actually catch it was initially such an unknown that...
Well, they didn't realise it was a sexually transmitted disease for quite a while, did they? And then when they found that out, that they decided that condoms were the only way to go.
Yeah.
But Rod McEwen was in the middle of the help for that. You know, he was always with the causes, all the different causes for the gay community.
But as well as being a poet, he was a good musician, and he had a wonderful connection with the notes on the paper.
Yes, yes.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. He was expressive in words, but expressive in his music as well.
He was a very good musician.
And sometimes the musical notes seem to be boring to make way for the power in the words.
Yeah, he was very...
They were musical poems, not songs set to music.
No, that's why he liked Jacques Brel. Because Jacques Brel writes that sort of music. He writes the lyrics are the most important thing in a Jacques Brel song. As well, yeah. And Jacques Brel.
And he died at the age of 81, and, as you said, with his two children, but he had a partner for many years of his life, a gentleman partner.
That's right.
Who was, in fact, his half-brother.
Brother. Yes.
Throws up an interesting set of circumstances.
Yeah, it does, really, because he was actually his half-brother, and he always called him his partner. Whenever he was talking about his half-brother, it was always his partner.
That's one of my least favourite words.
Partner.
In this modern world.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. No, I want a more specific description of the relationship, thank you.
Oh, all right. Okay, well...
It's the same with straight people. Yes. Oh, that's my partner. What, business partner? You're living together? I don't get it.
Yeah. Do you mean you're married to him, right? So he's your husband?
Draw me a picture.
Yeah, that's true. But it is a thing. But I'm wondering what he would have done now had he been alive a bit longer with the everybody having the equal marriage rights in America. It would have been interesting to see what he wrote about that.
That would have really thrown a spanner in the works for those that are protesting against it. How dare you marry your half-brother? What about the children? Hello?
Well, somebody did sort of think it was quite incestuous that he's called his half-brother his partner. Yeah, because nobody realised what was going on in the house. Nothing was ever said. It was just that they lived together very, very comfortably. So that was
and
nice.
And nothing might have been happening.
Nothing. Well, it's possible that nothing was. We don't know.
Didn't fall, so it's okay.
No, we're not going to be here and cast aspersions or nasturtiums.
Right.
We're not going to start cast nasturtiums.
Or gladioli.
Yeah.
Because they hurt.
They do hurt, too.
They can do.
Yeah.
Let's hear Pandora telling us to smile and shine. Here on Joy 94.9, after this song, we'll be talking about a couple of events that have occurred, fortunately not on our landmass.
No, thank God.
But they're rather disastrous, so yes. Stay tuned. You're on Joy. Joy. Thanks for being with us. You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with Gordon, Phil and Chris. And we've been thinking about the wonderful Indian summertime weather we've been having here in Melbourne for the last week or couple of weeks, actually.
Chris, it's been very, very confusing for the flowers and the plants in the garden because they think it's springtime because it's been so warm and things are sort of
I would have to tell you that my ranunculus and anemones are all flowering.
Are they really? Exactly. Already, they shouldn't be flowering yet.
I know. They're confused.
You know the saying.
What's that?
Keep your enemies close, but your anemones even closer.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, but today is an anniversary, a rather incredible anniversary. It was on the 26th of April in 1986. There was a disaster happened in the middle of... Well, it's sort of middle Europe, isn't it?
Not Northern Ukraine.
Northern Ukraine, yes. The Chernobyl atomic fusion factory or whatever.
It was a power plant.
A power plant. Yeah.
Fusion factory.
They made hot steam.
They made hot steam and the whole place blew up.
And the steam drove the turbines, which made the electrical power.
Yeah, and it all blew up.
And in the words of the Martian from Warner Brothers,
yours,
there was a giant kaboom.
Yeah, okay.
And there was not supposed to be a giant kaboom.
And, of course, the poor people are still suffering over that.
Well, that's the amazing part, that people have suffered, and but nature seems to be bouncing back.
Yeah, well, nature does, but there's always you see that the people that are there that got the radiation, we don't know how long they're going to be able to live and what they're going to go through at the end. I know because my brother died of radiation poisoning from the Montebello atomic tests. And that took him 40-something years for it to kill him, but it eventually did. So these things that are happening to these people, it's the same with Fukushima up in Japan. The number of people up there will be living with the...
There are short-term deaths from massive exposure.
Massive exposure, and then there's the longer-term ones that are going to be coming up.
200,000 people were relocated from Chernobyl's area.
That's right,
into new towns, which the government just built.
But they'll still be affected by the fallout.
They would have had a lot of initial exposure.
That's right.
Which you can't feel.
Nope.
You don't notice it at all. And it's probably very hard to measure once that time has passed.
That's right. Yes. So, but they will in future times they're going to be suffering some horrible sicknesses. That's for sure. The way that they will it'll work.
Yeah. Well, it's just a game of roulette now, isn't it?
Yeah. So
I don't want to say Russian roulette.
No. But that'll be bringing it too close to home. But the point is that you see that there are people in Australia that want nuclear power here for electricity. Mind you, nuclear power it doesn't fill the air with carbon and all the rest of which is causing greenhouse gases and all the rest of it like ordinarily coal-burning electricity does, but...
There is a residue of the glow sticks.
The concept, and as it was sold in the 1950s, is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's clean power. It's almost free once you've paid for your power station.
That's
right. Kind of expensive.
Yeah, kind of expensive, yeah.
But it's got a couple of problems, and one is the waste.
It lasts for a hell of a long time, doesn't it?
Well, more than we can count to.
Yes, that's right. But
not enough fingers on our hands.
That's right, and no point even taking your shoes off.
No, 250 million years or something or other is the life expectancy of the stuff.
Well, it's the half-life. It's where the level of radiation, isn't going to knock your head off.
Yeah. But this is the problem, you see. And Australia, they say Australia is a very stable country because we don't have earthquakes or anything like that. Like most
not
of the,
politically
not
stable.
Not like Japan does or New Zealand does or Indonesia does. And Indonesia, of course, have got, I think, about 4 or 5 nuclear plants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's,
well, Germany has actually... They're closing theirs.
I think France is too.
Yeah.
Because they're going into solar power.
Well, they're solar, but
and
as
wind.
Well, they're using gas.
Oh, right. Everybody eating something, are they?
Yes. Well, that sort of thing as well.
Just stand behind a cow.
Yeah.
No, with a bottle?
No, it's not behind the cow. It's in front of the cow.
It's burping.
It's their first two digestive pouches called stomachs.
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah. But
imagine what the ad for cow antacid would look like.
Yeah, but... And I hate to think of
how many stomachs have you got?
But one of the things that Britain, I think it's Britain, is doing now, they're creating power out of waste.
Oh, yes.
They're getting their waste and they're getting the stuff that will burn or do something with it, and they're causing that to be used up as a power source, where what we're going to do is put it in a bloody great big hole out here in the northern suburbs or something or other, or out through somewhere where it's going to be the biggest waste disposal hole in the world or something or other.
Well,
way to advertise Victoria. Come and see the greatest hole in the world with full of rubbish.
That will generate methane gases, so they tell us.
Well, that's what they should be
harnessing. And that's what they then draw off, and then that goes in.
How do they get it off? Do they have to cover the whole thing with plastic or something rather than just take the air, methane out?
Be like fracking.
There's
an amphitheater in Mountain View in California, which was built on an old tip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there were reports before it was shut down that people would be sitting at a concert, lighting a cigarette, and the ground would catch fire.
Oh, well,
because the methane was just it is the
Condamine River in New South Wales.
That's right. Well, a lot of these places are where they the water taps and everything. You turn the thing on and light it, and that's because of the fracking and they're using all this the thing up. Yeah.
Well, it's ground gas of one sort or another.
But so where do we get the safest thing? Of course, is solar power with wind power and tidal power.
Wind power will do your head in.
Well,
That's a whole other conspiracy.
Yes,
we've had windmills for centuries.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And we've had,
and it's just the big ones with generators that seem to get you.
And you go over to Europe, and they've got them everywhere.
They do.
They have them everywhere, and nobody's complaining because they're all getting money from them.
And of course, we've proved that solar power can be collected and used in all sorts of weird and wonderful little ways. I mean, your little desk calculator can be powered by that rather than a lead acid battery.
But the point is, of course, is the new batteries that they're bringing out that will store the solar power.
Yes.
So you can have your batteries in your house, solar power fills them up during the day, and you run your things, everything, at night time. Yeah.
Just a related yet random thought. I was at my favourite little website the other day watching planes fly around the planet.
Oh, yes.
And I zoomed in on the west coast of California.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this little thing sort of flying in circles. And it was the solar plane.
Yeah.
It's going around the world.
Yeah. That was actually listed on Radar 24.
Yeah, that's where I was watching it.
Oh.
And it had a really funny call sign, and I looked it up, right. And there it was.
That was the radar. But I didn't realise there was a solar-powered plane flying, frankly.
Yes, he's going around the world.
Oh, what is that creating the power to drive the turbine for the
Yeah, he's got
the
solar panels.
On the wings.
Yeah, and he's just getting there for nothing.
Oh, it'd be like a lovely little butterfly floating around the air, wouldn't it?
Well, he's running at about that speed. I think a butterfly might pass him.
But it's still being done, isn't it?
It's proof of concept, basically.
Yes, this is right. Yeah. So the concept is that it can be done.
But so getting back to the original story of the nuclear power plants and a reason why the Europeans are shutting down their aging ones, they tend to go bang.
They do.
And it's a very unforgiving bang. And the stuff that gets spat out by this bang covered half the planet in Chernobyl's case.
That's right. Yeah.
And for months you couldn't get milk from dairy cattle in certain areas, and there was mass
panic. Clouds of radiative material had fallen on other innocent parties.
It's the same in Fukushima with the fishing, with the fish that was there, and the food that they were growing as well.
Well, there's no real marker for three-eyed fish anymore.
Oh, it's on The Simpsons.
What's
it? They served it up to Mr. Burns when he was running for governor, and he couldn't eat it.
Why?
Well, it had three eyes.
But it'd come out of the pond.
Yes, his cooling pond at his nuclear plant. until we can have a guarantee that they're not going to explode and we can get rid of the spent fuel.
But there
and a few other little safety things.
But there is the other nuclear thing, isn't there, that is safer.
Fusion.
Fusion is the thing that if they could do it, it would be all right, because it doesn't have the waste.
The only one who's done it successfully is the guy who built the sun.
Oh, yes.
And we've lost his number.
Yeah, but we could always send them on a rocket ship to the sun, and he can digest it again.
Oh, yes, right. There you go. Yeah. They'll eventually do it. They will eventually work.
But it is interesting that whilst the people were whizzed out of the area around Chernobyl fairly quickly, within sort of 36 hours, and not allowed back in, 30 years ago, I think it was, wasn't it? 86 years.
Yeah.
Then people can now go on tourist trips, but they've got to be all rugged up and everything, and their levels checked.
Not this little white duck.
No.
We'll be going to Chernobyl. You wouldn't pay me to go there.
The other people who did other things that didn't move out, the living things, were nature, were the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been some...
There's been some malfunctions with the animals, birds, and all
course,
the rest of it, hasn't
there?
Yeah.
The numbers and varieties are growing at rates unseen because of the lack of human competition.
Yep.
But the animals that are growing have got a shorter lifespan, and they produce fewer offspring. So, it has negative aspects, well and truly.
Yes, I wouldn't go there after seeing what did to my brother. Thank you.
No.
That's it.
Of course, in Japan, Fukushima, the same thing. They whizzed a lot of the people out, but there are a couple of people there.
A couple of people still didn't want to move. They still stayed there.
And they're still alive, but they were at
We don't know what their life expectancy would be from doing that. Never mind. But that's it. We go to solar power, wind power, and wave power, and all the rest of them, because there's plenty of it.
Well, Sam Sparrow's going to tell us all about black and gold.
Oh, God, yes.
I wonder what that's talking about. There's that
oil and gold, perhaps?
Or discount supermarket brand.
Yeah, something like that, yes.
Well, I don't think so. That doesn't sound terribly wonderful at all. But
here's Sam.
It is. And when we come back, what are we going to be talking about, guys?
Stuff.
We're going to be talking about Fletcher Christian and the bounty.
Sounds like a jolly good idea. Now with Chris Gordon and Phil, been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
If the fish swam out of the ocean and grew legs and they started walking.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're with Chris, Phil and Gordon, been there, done that on Joy 94.9. We sort of discuss events in history that still affect us. Sometimes we even include gay people or bi people. Mm-hmm. And
I'm just wondering. Go on.
And we try and sort of vary it around. But there's hardly anybody on the birthdays list or the death list this week.
It's
so
very light on.
It must have been a good series of TV programs.
Must have been around
that time.
I tell you what, talking about gay people, I wonder how many gay men were on the bounty.
Hello?
You know, sailors on the bounty.
Lots of seamen.
Yes, lots of seamen. There probably would have been gay. There would have been a couple of gay sailors, I would think. They're having their turn in the barrel.
Phil is smiling. You've got a dirty smile on your face.
No, I'm just... I want the listener to imagine me rolling my eyes right now.
And I'm talking about the bounty because this week, on April the 28th in 1789, Fletcher Christian led the mutiny of the bounty against Captain Bligh because they'd been out in Tahiti looking for breadfruit to be taken back to the Americas to plant in America because they were running short of some sort of food in America.
What's the matter with the supermarkets?
That could have been right, couldn't it? And they went to Tahiti and they were filled up with breadfruit, and the men were having a huge time with the Tahitian women, probably some of the Tahitian men too, and then they sailed off with some of the Tahitian women on their ship, and they went, and Fletcher Christian decided that Captain Bligh wasn't a very nice man. A brilliant sailor, but he wasn't a very nice man. He was a bit strange, and
he might have been nasty too.
Yeah, so they put him in a longboat and set him off with a few of his men, and he created one of the greatest sailing expeditions in the world.
I mean, this is uncharted sea.
Yeah, and he was in just this little rowboat thing and with a sail, and he got right through to Indonesia, of course.
Totally incredible.
Incredible. He had a sextant, so he knew where he was going if he could get there.
Oh,
so
there had to be sex brought into it somewhere.
Just can't do it without sex.
Yes.
I hear that he couldn't have done it without the Kon-Tiki tour he ran into halfway down there.
But they finished up. Fletcher Christian decided that they would go to Pitcairn Island, which they had visited and was a reasonable little island. So they went to Pitcairn Island, and then they burnt the boat so that they couldn't get off. And so they were there.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and so then they stayed there until Australia was founded. And then it turned out that there was some people went over to Pitcairn Island because they knew that they were still there because Fletcher Christian they'd had the trial back in London with all the bounty and the mutiny and all that.
Right.
So they knew there were people there, so they went there and they found that Pitcairn Island was very, very overcrowded. So they decided to send them to take some of them to Norfolk Island.
Oh!
Yeah, and that's where when you go to Norfolk Island, the place is full of Adams
Eves.
Yeah, Adams and Eves, yes.
All the alphabetical A's were there, weren't they?
The other people from other families, because they took families from everything so that they wouldn't interbreed. So they kept the families, three or four families from Pitcairn. Some of them went to Norfolk Island.
Oh, right.
Well, how would you like to live in a place whose name starts with Pitt?
Yeah.
That doesn't sort of sell.
Well, there's Brad Pitt.
Well, okay, we're going to mention names.
He's a
bounty took off from England from the port of Spithead.
Spithead, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's another place I can't imagine.
That was a famous naval port, Spithead. Oh, God.
Well, you'd have to be careful how you say it.
But do you know what a spit is?
There's one in Sydney.
Yeah, and what is it, though?
It's this guy who stands at the station.
No.
it's a block of
it's
headland.
It's a narrow headland, and it can be either above ground or below water level.
Is it related to a fjord?
A sand spit. It's an obstruction that you've got to sail around to get into a harbour.
Our microphones have spit covers.
Yeah, the spit in Sydney has a is a very famous area of Sydney, most beautiful part.
And it's a bridge I always seem to find myself on.
Oh, is it? Oh, well,
the Spit Bridge.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that's a very good way to construct a bridge.
Oh no, but it should be a little sturdier than that. Not waving around in the breeze.
but the people on Norfolk Island are up in arms, of course, at the moment because they don't want New South Wales taking them over.
Well, they're not really taking them over. They're just local government and this sort of thing because they don't really have an income in their own island. They might have independence, as it were, in one form, but
there's no taxes on the island. You don't pay income tax on the island, and they rely a hell of a lot on tourism. I've been to Norfolk Island. It's a beautiful place, absolutely beautiful place.
And they've got pine trees.
They have the Norfolk Island pine, that's right.
They have Norfolk Island pines in Torquay.
That's right. They've all been transplanted from Norfolk Island.
Mm. But the ones in Torquay are cold.
Yeah.
You go from Queensland down there.
But it's a beautiful island. It's only small, but it's a beautiful island.
Lovely and green.
Green, and the people are lovely. They seem to have adjusted to their lifestyle there very, very easily.
I think they've had a couple of examples of animals becoming quite feral, and they've had, culls or clean-ups, yes.
Great fishing spot. You can go just drop a line in almost anywhere and get a nice bit of fish.
Oh, really? Because in Blackburn, I've got this shop I can go to. They'll even cook it for you.
Right.
I don't have to catch my own.
Yeah.
How primitive.
Yeah. If you want a holiday, a lovely, relaxing holiday, Norfolk Island, I can guarantee it.
But you can't just go. You have to book way ahead.
Not necessarily.
No, I know some people who went there a few years ago. They had to book nearly 2 years ahead.
Truly.
Because it's all heavily controlled.
Yeah. We went over there in 1972.
Well, that's probably, you might have met Mr. Byers and his friends.
And they could only take in, they couldn't land jets there. They had to be propeller-driven planes, and we went over there on a DC-4.
Ooh, a four-engined plane?
Yeah, DC-4.
Yes, they were nice.
It was Douglas. It wasn't even McDonnell Douglas
there. No, this is a Douglas DC-4.
Yep. Yes, well, the lesson to be learnt there is that brand doesn't exist anymore.
And I can tell you what, it was first class all the way. There was only the one class. It was first class.
On April the 28th, more recently in 1996, there was that dreadful, horrific massacre of innocent men and women and children in Port Arthur.
Once again, old convict area, isn't it?
It is a convict area. Mm. 35 men, women and children, and of course dozens more were wounded.
Mm.
And the gunman, Martin Bryant, is still in...
Never to be released.
Never to be released. Least, but he keeps chirping every now and again, let me out, let me out.
But he was the benefactor of the Tats fortune. The woman that he took him in or did something to him, she left all of her share of the Tats money. She was a Tats beneficiary.
Oh,
didn't do him any good, did it?
Didn't do him any good, no. I think he was taken out of the concept when he did that. You know, he would have had money for the rest of his life had he not done that, what he did.
And, of course, our Australian rules of gun ownership were really
one of the few things
sorted out by
John
Howard.
One of the few things that I say John Howard did a good job at.
And it was done very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah, he just brought it down and there was no mucking around.
Within early May...
It was like his taking out, saying man and woman in the Marriage Act.
Yeah.
He did it very quickly like
bang,
that.
Bang,
bang. Bang, bang. Now, why can't they go bang, bang and take it out again, you know?
Well, the gun rules were changed and there was the collection and...
Destruction of any
weapons that you wanted to hand in. A gun amnesty, because there was lots of people had guns in their possession without a license.
And the thing was, with the Port Arthur massacre, was the fact that in Tasmania you could buy a multi-shotgun, like a machine gun.
Yeah.
You could just walk into a gun shop and buy one. You couldn't do it anywhere in Australia, but you could do it in Tasmania.
Yeah, well, it's back in the news for another reason at the moment. There's a film in pre-production, and none of the survivors have been contacted, nor families of victims.
Mm.
And they're a bit put out by that.
Well, in some ways you can understand they'd be put out, but in other ways you think, well, do they want to relive it again in the film? But, you know, surely get the film correct.
Yeah, it would help to have some first-hand It's not a documentary, so...
No.
Oh, right.
Who knows what it's going to turn out as, but...
Yeah, well, they
not top of my list.
Yeah, they had one of the chaps that saved somebody on the thing. He was on Australian Story, I think it was, which was quite interesting. He can't get over it. He still has...
Post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
We're going to have a piece of music to lighten the mood.
What are you playing?
Then later on we'll go back into the depths of horrors and disaster. But yes, you're with Gordon, Chris, Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. But here's Cash Cash with Take Me Home. If you'd like to hear any music, send an email to beenthere@joy.org.au and we'll put it on the playlist for you.
I'm falling to pieces, but I need this. Yeah, I need this.
Joy.
Been there, done that. It's a show. We're very pleased to have your company with us on this, our 700th show.
Yes.
The tongue's getting a little
90.
Bit worn out, however.
I've only known a few of the shows.
Yes,
but
Bill.
As far as I know, all 700 have been quite different to each other.
Yes. I think that's the one
probably
ongoing feature of the show.
Very good way of doing it, yes. But before the song, we were talking about something that not very nice that happened, and it happened in London.
On the 30th of April in 1999. I mean, it is last century, but it's only 17 years ago.
That's right, at the Admiral Duncan Pub.
Yeah.
Which was a gay pub in Soho.
Which is near the heart of London. It's
That's
just
right.
around the back of Trafalgar Square.
You know why? I've looked up why it was called Soho. We were wondering how it can be called Soho. It goes back to the 17th century, and most authorities believe that the name derives from a former hunting cry.
Soho!
Well, it's tally-ho, Soho, you know, so
yeah.
That sort of thing. That's what it was. And they used to hunt around that day. They used Soho as a rallying call for the men at the Battle of Sedgemoor in 1685, half a century after the name was first used in this area of London.
I have another theory.
What's that?
Some places are Soho and others are not Soho.
Okay.
All right.
Thank and others
you.
Are overly ho.
Did the Simpsons have a Soho?
No, but there's probably a South Springfield there somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. But David Copeland was a person who was actually trying to stir up ethnic and homophobic tensions by carrying out a series of bombings.
That's right.
And
he was actually a Nazi.
Well, he was a neo-Nazi, yes,
yeah,
and on the
yeah.
17th of April in Brixton, and then again on the 24th of April in Hanbury Street, London, he set off explosive devices that sort of put the wind up everybody.
Mm.
But the police were actually onto him. They were sort of narrowing down.
They narrowed it down to the who.
And they felt that they really expected him to be doing something pretty soon. And so they started to sort of round him up, and he got wind of this somehow and thought, well, I better do
something with a bit of a bang.
With quick time. So he went along into Old Compton Street in London in Soho and left some explosive devices in a pub. And this is where his homophobia came into being.
He believed in the master race, which was what Hitler believed in. You see, that's what he was doing. He was trying to get rid of the people that weren't white and Aryan like he was. You know.
He'd left a bag
under a table.
And
just wondering, how's that Hitler guy doing with his master race and all these big plans? Not so well?
Didn't work.
Didn't work. Gee, I wonder if we'll learn that lesson.
Yeah. But at the time, the manager of the pub was actually having a bit of a poke around at the bag that was left there.
Yeah.
And it went off.
Yes.
And, you know, 6:37 evening, just after the, just with the office crowd.
The office crowd just going out. And of course it was a gay pub. It was a very well known gay, hotel or bar, actually, where the people used to hang out there, the gay crowd, because Soho was full of, it was a prostitution area. It was a big prostitution area in the old days.
Oh, that's where the hoes came from.
That's
in Soho.
it's Soho. They're all there.
Yeah, that was full of the there was sex industry and everything was around there. And of course, it's a lovely area if you want to wander around there. It's really rather cute place to go to.
It is. It's low rise and it's oldie worldie.
Very elderly worldie.
Three people were killed. Andrea, 4 months pregnant, her friend Nikki, and John, the best man at the wedding of Andrea and her husband. So basically, innocent people.
That's right, yeah.
But
that's what always happens in these cases. Yeah. They're innocent people. The people that set the things don't, well, with a new modern blow yourself up to because you're going to go to heaven with 73 virgins or something, rather. That's a bit different to what this was.
But they weren't even, as it were, gay people.
They weren't gay. They were just in the gay pub.
Yeah.
Yeah, having a drink. Probably had some, probably knew all the people there. They could probably be local people even, you know, from the area who drank at the pub and could then walk home and get their dinner.
Yeah.
So, and then that was it. But there were 77 people were actually injured as well, weren't there?
Yes. And the police had CCTV stuff out on the TV, and Copeland was actually identified and it sort of grabbed quick time, sort of before the bomb exploded. But Copeland, you know, the cops, as I said, had wind of it, but they couldn't actually determine where the bomb was, so it did go off.
Yes, well, he did receive 6 full-time life sentences.
Yeah.
And sentencing, the judge said, the public must be protected from you and assured that if you are ever released, it will not be for a very long time. Something a bit like
Mr. Bright
down in Tasmania. Yes.
Yeah. On a slightly warped but connected story, I learnt the other day that Melbourne's first telephone line was installed from Parliament House to a few establishments on the east side of town, the brothels.
Yeah. Down in little Lonsdale.
Little Lon.
So the politicians could call up for a little nookie.
Yeah, well, call up for something, anyway.
I'm glad the phone was used for something good, not evil.
That's right, it wasn't used for evil, yes, that's true. But that was a very interesting area, Little Lon, in the old days.
Now, we haven't had any Simpsons references, so let's go talk American.
We did. We had the three-eyed pond, three-eyed fish in the pond.
Oh. Thank you, Nina. I'm getting vibes. We need more of a reference.
It's organic. It has to come naturally.
Oh. The Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco is finally completed on the 27th of April, 1937.
Yeah, but it wasn't open for another 9 months later.
One month later.
Mm. Well, of course.
And that was commemorated the 50th anniversary of the opening of the bridge was the weekend I arrived in California for my 5-year stay.
I
knew nothing about it.
But you could have gone down the road waving your hands.
There's no way. They had 100,000 people on the bridge itself.
And the actual bridge,
it's straightened out.
It flattened out, didn't
it? Yes, it's shaped like a coat hanger.
It's got a very sort of curve in it, very small curve in it, but with a number of people on it, just flat bridge.
The USGS were most upset because they could have put sensors on the bridge to measure its strength in the event of an earthquake. Yeah. They didn't think of that until afterwards.
Yeah, well, they could have.
When they saw the picture of the straight bridge.
With all the people on there, they could have worked out the sense of it.
Is it only a road? Road bridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's got a footpath.
Yeah.
There are no trains or trams going.
Ah, so they could sling a second deck or have one if they wanted, but they've got BART, haven't they? There's the Simpsons reference.
Bay Rapid Transport or something.
No, Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yeah.
But the...
Sorry.
We should actually correct the name. It is the Golden Gate Bridge, but it bridges the Golden Gate.
The Golden Gate is the place...
Which is the waterway.
That's right, underneath it.
Ah.
Most people think because it's painted that orange, which is an international
ugly
marine,
reddy orangey thing.
Yeah. It's some safety orange.
It's also rust proofed and all the rest of it too.
Yeah. And it's continually painted.
Yeah, it's like Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah, so it's the Golden Gate Bridge in that it bridges the Golden Gate.
That's right. Yes, it's not
there's nothing gold about it.
No,
except the gold rush in the 1800s.
Well, that's what it would have been called from, surely. Yep.
Get through there and go look for gold.
You had to get through the Golden Gate to get to San Francisco.
Mm. Yeah.
Or San Francisco, depending on which movie you watch.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it's a wonderful bridge. I've driven across it. I haven't walked across it. I've just driven across it.
No, I've admired it from one side or the other. No, I didn't go to Sausalito on the other side.
I did. Yeah, and to Sausalito.
A lot of very expensive little restaurants there on the waterfront.
Yes. I was picked up in a Mercedes-Benz in a pub, in a bar.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't think that's really for broadcast on our show.
No, it was fine. It was fine. I was talking to this gentleman, and he was a real estate agent. He said, I've got to go to Sausalito. And he realised I was Australian. He said, would you like to come for over to Sausalito with me? So I said, yes, okay. So we get in this beautiful Mercedes-Benz convertible car, and we chuffed off. And on the way over, he said, you're very trusting. He said, to get in a car with a complete and utter stranger. I said, no, you were... To me, you were a very nice man. And he drove me over there and he drove me back, and we went to a party at one of the pubs with some friends of his, and I had a wonderful time.
But if you'd ever seen Hitchcock's The Birds...
The Birds, yes.
That was set up in Marin County.
Yeah.
And I only stay there for very short periods. And if you see a raven, go home.
In case the birds get to you.
The town goes really quiet and you hear this squawk in the distance.
Yeah, it's a wonderful city, San Francisco, though. It's a beautiful city.
It is.
It is a beautiful city, and the people I find are quite friendly there, too. Especially the gay community there are quite friendly to you.
Well, they're quite loud, too.
Oh, they're very loud, yes. But I used to drink in the Elephant's Graveyard.
I had an apartment. I actually lived not a nice elephant bones.
The Elephant's Graveyard is on the corner of Castro and the Main Street that goes down to the...
Union.
Which is probably Main Street.
Main Street.
Market Street.
Market Street, Market Street, on the corner of Market and Castro. And it's a pub called the Castro, and they call it the Elephant's Graveyard because older gay people drink there.
Oh, right. Fair
and
enough.
And has that got a balcony?
No.
Oh, so it's not the place I'm thinking of.
No.
My partner and I
it is
walked
right,
past there a few
right
times.
On the very corner.
Well, that's where this balcony pub is.
Oh.
And they yell, they wolf whistle, really quite demeaning.
Oh, I bet you.
I felt like a piece
out.
Of meat.
Oh.
So we went down to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Next best thing.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Chris. Oh, that's me.
That's you. Yes, thank you, Chris. Very well. For pushing all the buttons and twiddling with the dials over there.
Exactly. Thank you very much for your company during this, our 700 show. We seem to have fun, and we hope that we can come back next week and have a bit more fun.
We'll be having 701.
Yeah, we'll go out with a bit of music and some messages. Who have we got? Oh, we got Bobby Uvena and Rainfall Down on Me. So,
it's not going to happen.
Well, it might do, but might
not
do.
Until Friday, I believe. I think is the next
all
time
right.
we're going
to take it, Robbie, just in case.
Oh,
there
right.
you are.
You play your Mary Poppins role.
Be prepared.
Right. Thank you very much. All this. Bye.
Bye for now. Bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.